Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I just love the way she says that. And yes, you've guessed it. This is not Kaylin Patterson, but this is your very own Desiree Fletcher. And it is a Thursday evening, so you know what that means. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world, or Total El Mundo, as Kaylin would have said if he were here and in a Spanish mood. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let us talk, or how does he say it? Let us chitta-chatta with the banter, or whatever he says. But anyway, as I said, I am Desiree Fletcher, and my sidekick is Kaylin Patterson, or maybe I'm his sidekick, either way that it goes. Kaylin is on the road trying to get to Davenport, Iowa for the Rumble on the River this weekend, where I will be this weekend as well. So he is going to be joining us momentarily, so don't worry. I know this sounded like just the Desiree Fletcher show there for a moment, but it is going to be okay. You are going to get your Kaylin fix here momentarily. Oh, yes, here it is. Chit-chatter with the banta, although the only banta hearing tonight is me. So, yep, Sandra, I'm seeing your question. If you missed it, Kaylin's on the road. He's trying to get to a spot to stop where he is going to have good connection and joining us here momentarily. So, as I said, guys, you're going to get your Kaylin fix. Don't you worry. But while we are waiting for Kaylin, you all remember Arsenio Hall? Do you remember the Arsenio Hall show back in the day? And he used to have that segment of things that make you go, I've got one of those things tonight that I want to share with you. And it's had me saying, since I first read it online. This story, though, is from the UK. And so here is the headline. The headline is, Mother Makes Thousands Selling Breast Milk to Men Online. Okay, so this is the headline. She's made 4,500 euros, which is basically $5,900. So she's cashing in on the breast milk, but it gets better. So the headline says she's selling breast milk to men online. If that's not odd enough, if you're not saying by now, I don't know when you're going to start, but maybe after this next sentence. So here's how it gets better. So she's a mother of two, and she's selling breast milk on demand to who else but bodybuilders who are evidently ditching steroids in favor of the milk. Okay, now everybody, let's say that together. Now how does that work? So here's what happens. So she just had her latest baby 7 months ago. She's got two beautiful boys, and she is one of those women that she has excessive milk production. So she was producing more milk than her children could consume. And so she, as all good mothers do, because, I know you're not aware, but for any mothers out there who have nursed, pumping breast milk is not a joy. At least it wasn't for me. So if you're going to go to all the work to secure that breast milk and freeze it, you are going to make sure that it is consumed. You're not just going to pump it and dump it. That is just like a heartbreaking thing, because you're like, oh my gosh, I went through all this work producing this milk and now I just have to dump it out. No, we don't do that. We freeze it for the later use. But she was running out of freezer room. So she first started by giving her milk away to mothers who weren't producing enough. So she started that way. And then in some weird twist of fate, she started to get inquiries from men. Now, it started with men who were interested in bodybuilding, because they were saying that it's good for muscle mass. Because, breast milk is very high calorie, very nutrient dense. So they're like, hey, good source of calories, good source of protein here. And then it started to branch out to other men whom the gal says she doesn't really care what they do with it after they buy it. So she's not too concerned about that. But it's turned into quite a little lucrative business for her. And in fact, she started a Facebook group about it so people who can approach her to find out whether or not she smokes or drinks, because they don't want tainted breast milk. And so, yeah, I don't know what else to say about that other than because breast milk is good for babies, I guess the thought process is breast milk is designed, it's good for babies, it's designed to rapidly grow a human baby. So people think a similar effect will happen to fully grown humans. However, guys, there are no studies that support these claims, and breast milk can reflect a woman's diet choices. So if any of you are out there thinking about jumping on the bandwagon and trying to solicit breast milk to help grow muscles, you definitely need to be sure you know what's going on with that woman, because whatever she's eating or consuming or inhaling, injecting, any of that stuff is going to come through in the breast milk. So this is not, you know, it's only a perfect food as long as the mom is eating a pretty darn good diet. So just consider that. And then all mothers-to-be out there or currently nursing mothers, that's just another good reminder that what you consume is going to come back out through that baby. So be eating good stuff. And no, Brenda, this is not a joke. Billy Blaine and Sheldon, yeah. I was just as caught off guard about that. But, hey, she's putting good use to her body's milk manufacturing that's going on. So her sons are still eating, and she still has plenty left over to sell. Carla is saying, it actually makes sense that it would be interesting to men since it is more natural and accessible for human intake. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, the bodybuilders that are inquiring about it, that's probably legit. Some of the other guys out there that are inquiring about that, or women too, I don't know. She's just saying men, but I don't know if she's getting hit up by any women for breast milk or not. I just don't know. But hey, if that's the thing, Mr. Patterson, there you are. So that's my things that make you go reference for tonight. Just, you know, you miss an episode, you miss a lot. That's all I have to say about P for P Real Talk with Desiree and Kaylin, because you just never know what's going to come up.
Wow.
Am I right or am I right, Kaylin? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's a good just saying. That's incredible. And, you know, that's money. Wow.
So there you have it. So there is that. Jake, my man, you want to know if we're going to have time to talk about vaccinations? If you've got a question, ask it. You know, August is National Vaccination Month, and so all you guys out there are going to start to see a lot of, I will say, information. I want to use the word propaganda, but I'm going to say information coming out about getting kids vaccinated before school. And like we said, you know what? If that's your shtick, go ahead and do it. Just be informed. Make wise decisions. However, one thing you're going to want to watch out for and pay special attention to really deem if it's legit in your state, is that I know in Iowa we're already seeing emails coming out with graphics that say, no vaccination, no school, no joke. Well, it is a joke because it's not true. Law has not been put into effect as of yet that will formally deny a child from going to school if they have not been vaccinated. So if you are of the opinion that you do not want to vaccinate your child, just get informed, check your legislative updates, and just know what's what. Don't let a scare tactic force you into making a decision that you don't want. And if you want to, serve, give your school a vaccination exemption, those are available. You just have to know where to get them, and it can vary from city to city, from location to location. So I just throw that out there. But, Jake, if you have a specific question, let us know, and we will definitely do our best to either answer if we have the answer or get it answered for you. So there is that. KP, I have been rambling on for at least a good 10 minutes now. What is on your mind tonight?
Well, I mother's milk, I guess so, because this is nuts. it's kind of crazy that, everybody is so intrigued by this, because I sure didn't expect to hear you say anything like that, but there you go. And, the guys are really intrigued about this. And one thing that they didn't understand, because I'm having trouble with getting these messages in, is that what are they doing it with, like trying to enhance the steroid intake, or what's going on?
No, I don't know. There wasn't a lot of information in the article about steroids or why they would prefer mother's milk over steroids. Other than because it is so nutrient dense that they feel like it's just going to bump up their calories, which will enhance their gains in one way or another. So I can't really answer that. That information wasn't there. But, yeah, I'm not quite sure what that correlation is, but that just happens to be what was written in the article.
Okay. That makes sense. I think hopefully this is something that, the guys are going to enjoy it, have fun, but, boy, I sure hope this isn't something that, becomes an industry, because I feel sorry for the mothers that are nursing and have a guy that's kind of behind on his consumption or the availability to it. That would be frightening, but this is definitely an interesting topic. I'm glad you brought it up, because it does have all the guys saying it, and some of the women are saying, they want to get signed up as well. So maybe this might be something that works. I don't know. What do you think? You're going to start out your own little business?
I don't know. I won't be. But, hey, to anyone else who's interested in that, if there's a market, more power to you, sister.
There you go. Now, the vaccinations, this is another one, because I think this is – we really need to have that lady back on. What is it, Shyla or Shayla? I don't want to say her name incorrectly.
Shanda. Yep, Shanda. We can have Shanda back. And, in fact, I know Shanda is getting ready to partner with a local chiropractic office here to talk about how to boost your kids' immunization system to be ready for the school year for those parents who are looking for options other than vaccines or in addition to a slower vaccine schedule than what most doctors might recommend. So, that might be another great show with those tips that we could share with all of you all out there. So I will check with her and see when we can get something rescheduled.
Well, yeah, there you go, because I think that one really touched on a lot, because that's a pretty hot topic, because I know that, it's a fight for, either you do or you don't, and I love the part she said, I'm just giving you the information, you make the decision, and I love that, because the pressure is not there, but what people have been getting or responding to, it's not a fight. I mean, you're protecting your children. It should be what the main concern is. And I think a lot of people were I know our show has been downloaded 26 times on that topic, on that show, just hers. I was very surprised that was one of the main questions they had, if it's not something that has to be forced on children, why does it seem to be so much pressure to have it done that way? And that's the question, if it's not a forced thing, why is it so much pressure to have it forced on people? It's like, well, if you're getting sicker, and people are having these adverse reactions to it, why? Oh, I'm sorry. This one is for Delilah, and this one is also coming from Shanda. And that's funny because you said Shanda. But this is spelled C-H-A-N-D-A. And they want to know, you know, why so much pressure if it's, you know, them wanting the best for their children, and now they're asking for questions about, you know, am I doing my best and not really getting a full clear answer.
You know, it's just that mentality of we want everybody to follow along, and as soon as someone starts to question or break from the mold, oh my gosh, what's going to happen then? People are actually going to start to think for themselves, and that's a dangerous thing when it comes to mass dollars. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place for vaccinations, and they have saved hundreds of thousands of lives, but the direction that vaccines have taken is not a good one, and it's based more on dollars, in my opinion. This is me speaking solely for me and not Kaylin or anyone else, but it's based more on dollars than it is health. And when that happens, you have to stand up, take notice, and, you know, do what you feel is in your best interest, in your child's best interest, and you can't let, you know, a herd mentality dictate that I'm just going to follow along with what everybody else is doing. If it's not right for you, then you shouldn't have to.
Well, yeah, especially when you talk about the old cross, is just not health or life, which is itself. And before we get off this topic, there was one thing I did research, and that was, like a lot of the people that are in healthcare or, you know, the vaccination fight, you know, plus or minus, is the biggest debate is over why so many are being put in for, if you only need the polio vaccine, why are they cramming all these other vaccinations in there and ways to basically get it all done? Because it just seems like an overindulgence of something that you don't, and I guess that's a bad word, overindulgent. But it's like too much going into the body to fight off all at once. And because of what they use to make it permissible for the body, that's also doing damage. And when children's, you know, immune systems are already, you know, basically in overdrive, learning to fight off all these health hazards that we, you know, the biological realm, it seems like there's way too much at once, and it's costing children's, you know, ways to fight off antibodies. Other things that you wouldn't think about because, you know, it's promised to be good stuff, and then you find out later on or 5 years later that it did more harm than good. So, you know, there's a lot in the debate, and there's a lot that's going on, but honestly, this wasn't what our show was about. But thank you for asking. We're going to talk about, I guess it's kind of hard to go from that subject to what we wanted to talk about, but we'll try to do it anyway, and that's prep, good coaching, and also healthy diets. I'll start this out because it seems like I'm having trouble with Messenger, so I'll just relay the questions to Dez, and then we'll basically do our topic after that. So, Dez, I'm going to come with you first. This is from Carl and his twin sister Carla. And they're asking about, you know, when we were talking what was her name? She did the Diva Classic and she did Mr. and Miss. What is her name? Help me out, Dez.
Well, we've talked to a couple of ladies from the Diva Classic, so why don't you hit me with the question and then I'll see if I can't come up with the name.
Okay, Flandrick, her last name was Flandrick,
yes.
I think. Oh, I'm terrible with names,
yep.
And I'm sorry. And I'm on the road.
That's okay.
I have to get to her. Okay, there we go. Well, she was talking about, you know, the...
Christina Flandrick, yep.
There you go, yes. I'm seeing so many Carlas and Chandras and all this other stuff, I can't get past that name. But anyway, the question is about, you know, the prep and how to get through it without jumping ship when something is wrong. How do you know when something is wrong? And this, it's one immediate one that I know of, but I know we both had to see some of the reactions of a poor prep and poor diet, especially on Sunday backstage. But I'll let you start this.
Okay, so the question is, how do you know when you've got a bad nutrition coach, if that's what we're talking about,
and
diet and prep? And so there are several signs I think that you can look for. The first one that comes to mind, and we've heard this example before from other listeners, but also just pay attention. But, and this could be for diet or strength training, but if your plan, whether it's nutrition or strength training, is the same as, exactly the same as either what your coach is doing or what someone else they're training is doing, then there's an issue. Everyone is an individual. There's no way that you should be following the same diet plan or the same strength training plan as someone else. Not the exact same. Now, you could have similar bodies. They may have you doing similar exercises, but your rep ranges, you know, all of those things, there should be some variation in there. There should not be a cookie cutter plan anywhere on the face of the earth. You know, if you guys were doing something like a detox, basic something like that to help get your body ready to really absorb, have great nutrition, you know, maybe that might be similar, especially if you're the same body type, you know, ectomorph versus endomorph versus mesomorph. You might get away with something like that. But beyond that, you are you. There's only one you. Your plan should be customized for you. So if you're seeing a cookie cutter approach, that should be red flag number one, that you're not, that your coach is not as in tune with coaching as they should be. Kalen?
The thing, definitely red flag, is the change in health. They overlook their own health, and you know, they trust the people, they trust the work. You know, a lot of the times when you don't ask question, sometimes you don't know to ask the question that's correct to ask, but there's a lot that happens to your health in the process of prep, and none of it should be possible. Either
KP, you are fading in and out on us. So you were really clear for a minute, and now you're not.
Okay, how do I sound now?
You sound great now. So you might just want to start from the beginning of where you started.
Okay. And what I said is the issue about the health being a big concern. If your health starts to go down, or there's, you know, like just problems in basically using the bathroom and things like that, these things shouldn't even be a factor when you're doing something properly. I can't imagine playing any other sport in life and having where, you know, I'm having health issues and health concerns and thinking I'm still okay to play the game. I can't imagine that in football, basketball, or any other sport where, you know, something was so wrong that I have to basically find a way around it to still do the sport that I love doing. It just doesn't add up or make sense. And I know people have stressed that, you know, the prep and there's going to be tough times, and that's in any sport. But when your health starts to become damaged, that's when it's an issue. And I know we can try to correlate that to lean, but that's a whole different monster because that's part of, you know, the diet. But I'm talking about where, you know, you start having problems with walking, talking, going to the bathroom. There's certain things that are just normal parts of diet and health. And if that becomes a risk, then that's a definite red flag. And I'm shocked that anyone would basically try to get you to pass that. And I know that there's people out there that do. And like I said, Dez and I have both seen it. It's more than obvious that these people have been suffering for a great extended period of time. Dez?
So, I mean, Kalen is right. The health factor has to be there. And granted, you do go through some suffering when you're training. When you're trying to cut your body fat to a certain degree, to where you are going to get on stage and just every muscle is going to pop and ripple, yes, that's going to take a sacrifice, but not to the point where your health is severely compromised. That is
yes.
not a good sign. Any coach worth their weight is going to step you through the process and get you to where you need to go without your hair falling out, you know, organ malfunction,
yes.
passing out on the floor, totally depriving you of water, all of that stuff. None of those things should be a factor. And then on the flip side of that, you know what? Your coach should also have a certain level of health. They should be able to walk the talk. Are they 100% perfect? Are they trying to get stage ready? Are they going to be, you know, super cut and lean? Probably not. They are probably leading, you know, or should be leading a pretty healthy lifestyle. They should just be fit. They're not going to be stage ready, but they should at least be fit. They should at least be walking the talk of what they're asking you to do. So you want to make sure that they're going to be looking out for your health, but that they're also healthy themselves from the standpoint, you
okay.
know, no major issues aside. I'm not trying to say, you know, they're not going to have something going on, but they should be trying to follow good health principles in their own life as well. What you got?
That's a good point. Okay, now this thing up there, my goodness. Give your name now. I am so sorry. It's a road trip, and I'm focused on being safe on the road, so forgive me for that. This one is from Jacob again, and he's asking diet. Isn't it simply put in layman's terms what you eat? I'll let you go with that one, Dennis.
It can be what you eat, but it's also how you're putting together what you eat. You can eat clean and healthy, and you can still overeat depending on what your goals are. I mean, you are still consuming calories. You can either be at a calorie gain or a calorie deficit. So what you eat is a big part of it, but when you get to the level of being you know, an athlete, and I won't even say an elite athlete, but a serious athlete, you know, one where you're working to get on stage, how you put it together as far as, you know, proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and yes, carbs should be in there, is going to make a big
yes.
difference for you as well.
I like that point. Also, you have to, like, when you're talking about a nutritionist, it's not someone that's just basically putting food in front of your face. They're matching food to your body type. They're matching food
yep.
to your age. They're matching food
yep.
to what you do at work. There's a lot of things that go into that. So, yeah, it is what you're eating, but how does it match up to the lifestyle you're living, where you live, how you live, what you're doing? All these things are factored in to get your body to still operate at its best and maximum potential. That takes a lot of work. And if you don't understand it, it might seem simple for anyone, but if when you talk about putting an elite athlete on stage and having them look phenomenal on the day that they're supposed to, that takes a lot of precision, that takes a lot of work, and that takes a lot of planning. And it does require some in-depth thought, study, understanding, knowledge, and you can't just give it to anybody. And, you know, sadly, that's what some people are doing with their health, and it suffers, and they suffer, and families suffer, and friends suffer, and there's a lot of things that go down when things aren't done correctly. So, you know, you have to factor those things in. So, yes, diet is what you eat, but how do you know what works for you, and how do you plan what works for you? And how do you even know what to look for to see if it does work for you? All of these things are factored in with somebody that knows what they're doing. So if you want to go with just eating what you think is okay, that's fine. But I know there's people that bloat on certain foods and there's people that don't. There's people that basically have great workouts one day off of certain food, but they won't get that same result the next time. These are things that have to be thought about and understood when you're dealing with that kind of body and basically whether you win or lose on stage, because first place sometimes is a half a point, sometimes even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wanting to put that in somebody's hands that basically knows how to keep you from meeting the 20, then by all means, knock yourself out. But I'd rather have the person that basically says, if you're having the steak, you know, would you rather have Black Angus or, you know, just regular run-of-the-mill steak? These things have to be factored in, and if you don't know what you're working with, then you're basically doing your best guess, and it does make a difference between first and second place. Beth?
Yep, and there you have it. So, I mean, there is more to it than just what you eat, but what you eat is a great place to start. Don't let us make it sound like we're discounting that at all. That is a great place to start. But as Kaylin said, you know, when it comes to placements, you're going to have someone who can take you beyond that step and really fine-tune what works for your body. And that's what the really good ones can do. I mean, they're connecting with you. They're asking questions. They're, you know, finding out, you know, they're examining your pictures, your progress pics. And, you know, you look soft this day. What did you eat? What happened? What didn't you eat? Did you get all your meals in? You know, when are you eating certain things? Pre-workout, post-workout, all of that kind of stuff. So they're really able to break things down on that level to get the best result that you're hoping for and looking for. Another point, too, we don't talk about this a lot, but I'm going to throw this out there, is professionalism. How is your coach working with you? Is your workout written on a piece of paper that they just scribble down quickly and pass it over to you? Because this happens. It can happen. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, pass it right on back. Because here's the deal. Now they have no place to go once they've handed you that piece of paper, because they immediately scrawled something down. So maybe they had some thought into it, but not a whole lot. And then once they hand it up to you, it's like out of their head. How do they know where to go? How do they know where to take you from that point? They have no reference point. You know, they can't help you move something up or down. They can't tell you what the next steps are 2 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now. Why? Because they have no historical data on what they gave you to begin with. So don't let someone scrawl it down hastily and then pass you a sheet of paper. It should be well thought out. It should be typed up. They should be able to reference it, adjust it, send it back to you 20 different times if they need to, because that's the number of adjustments they need to make for your body. But don't settle for, you know, you're in the gym, you see someone's got a notebook, hey, dude, you look great, what do you do? And they just copy that down for you and hand it off. No, that's not what you're looking for, not at this level. It might get you started just in a very casual way, but it's not what you're looking for in a coach. Kaylin?
Sure. Well, yeah, and you also have to factor in, you're talking about your life and health. And we have to take that much more serious. And, you know, I've spoken about this because we are the get back to work, whatever it takes kind of mentality. So basically work through all the pain and suffering, and somehow you'll find a way to get through the work day. And that's what we're doing with our health. And that's just frightening that we would basically, you know, try to correlate it with that way of thinking. When this is all we got, you only have one body, you've got one life, and we're doing such harm to it with such little concern for health risk and, you know, the vital workings of the human body. It's scary. Like, the more you know, the less you realize. And our bodies, because this is all we got. Well, this person sounds like they know what they're talking about. You know, it kind of makes sense. Well, no, it shouldn't kind of make sense. It makes full sense, and they should explain that to you. And if they have to scribble it on a piece of paper to explain it, then, hey, I'm not a follower. You should be able to do some research and call it up. You know, 5 years from now, you should be able to call up 5 years ago. It should be, this is
You're breaking up on us again, KP.
I'm sorry.
You got to stop moving.
I'll stop moving. I'll stop breathing. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Or at least I can. shoot.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the next thing that I would throw out there too is, and we've said this one before, but I'll say it again. And to me, this is almost the most important one. If you remember nothing else that we've said tonight, remember this. If your coach avoids your questions or cannot answer your questions, then run. They should absolutely be able to answer your questions, answer them fully, and answer them in a timely fashion. Not just when it's convenient for them, but answer them in a timely fashion. And in that, you have to be reasonable too, because your coach, any good coach, is going to have several clients. But there should be some sort of expectation is, I will get to you within 24 to 48 hours. That's reasonable, you know. And so they should be able to stick to that. But if you feel like they're avoiding you or they're only getting back to you when it's convenient for them, then it's probably not a good relationship, because obviously at that point, either they don't know how to answer your question or you're not a priority to them, one or the other. And in either instance, you want somebody who is knowledgeable enough to answer any and all of your questions and who makes you a priority for the money that you're giving them, for the trust that you're giving them to help you reach your goals.
Yes. To add to that, you know, there's one thing I've said, and it's true in anything. Not everyone is suited for everyone. And we have to understand that there is a coach that fits your personality and your requirements, your goals, your understanding of where you are. That doesn't mean it's going to be the same next year. That doesn't mean it's going to be the same next show. But there is someone out there that fits you to a T if you're willing to do the research. Some of the onus has to fall on the athletes themselves. I mean, I say it, but I think it gets glossed over because we say it so much and we're so repetitive. But the reason we're so repetitive is because we want it to sink in to where you understand you do have options. You don't have to compete at the show you're dead set on doing if you're not ready. And some people find that hard to believe, but it's the truth. You don't have to be dead set on a coach because they did this kind of work with some other athlete. If they don't have your body type, hey, it might not fit. Some people like person-to-person contact. Some people like that, you know, answer my message when I send it. Some people can wait. Some people have patience. I mean, there's some athlete that fits some coach. You just got to work to get the right one. The reason diets are working better, the reason athletes are looking better, is because they're working with people that understand them better. And we have to basically do our research and our due diligence to find, you know, the right person that works for us. Because you can have an elite athlete with an elite coach, but the mix is off, and so neither one of them look that good. And both of them suffer either in the social realm or in the word of mouth. So, you know, just be understanding that, you know, just because somebody works with this person doesn't mean they work with others. Well, but the people are out there, and don't give up hope. Don't say, you know, because this didn't work, then to hell with everything, because that's just the worst mentality to have. If you don't, I mean, we all fail, and we're all going to make mistakes, and we're all going to have those tough times and tough moments, but that doesn't mean that everything falls apart because of one tough time. That happens in diet, that happens in posing, that happens in anything you do in life. And I like to joke about myself because, you know, like my pastor always says, I can tell the truth about me with no fear. And one of the things I remember is like seeing one of the best pictures I'd ever seen at the worst moment, where the judge had called out a mandatory pose and I did it wrong. I did the wrong, it was a side tricep. And I was doing side chest, and it was a great pose for me. But that's not what the judge had asked. So guess what? I got a zero on that score. Photographer called a great picture.
Oh.
Yes. So I was dropped from, I think it was a second place placing down to a fourth or fifth, and it was all my own fault. And you can't take that moment back. You can't fix it. It is what it is, and you got to live with it. But, hey, it happens. I didn't say, well, you know, because of that judge not, you know, looking past that moment and scoring me differently, I should have played higher. No, I did it incorrectly. That's like running out of bounds. I'm getting mad at the referee for saying you walked out of bounds and you got to turn over the ball. It's a turnover. Nothing you can do about it except try and make the points up later. Unfortunately, in bodybuilding, it doesn't work that way. These are the things that happen all the time. These moments are not rare. They happen just about every show where somebody is going to do something they shouldn't, and they want to blame someone else. If you can take the onus on yourself, do your research, see which coach best fits this individual, best fits this body type, best fits this genetic background. All of these things are coming into factor now, and we know it now. So, do your research, find out who fits you, and I guarantee it's a much better time, much better prep, and a much better outcome.
Amen to that, brother. So, KP, we've got a little under 4 minutes left in tonight's hashtag Chocolate Way for the Win episode, and you heard it right. You heard it right here. So do we have any questions that we need to get to before our time is up?
Yes, we do. I don't think we're going to get both of them, but the first one is about posing. If your diet is a little off, is there any way posing can salvage that without you basically falling out of the top five as far as competition? And this one is from Brandon.
Brandon, the long of the short is if your diet is just a little off, in some circumstances, yes, your posing can save you. I mean, and we've said this time and time before, even if you have the best physique on the stage but you can't show it off because your posing is subpar, someone who may have a lesser physique than you, either because of conditioning or just plain size, but their posing is spot on, they can beat you.
Yes,
so
that's so true.
That is so true. That's my short answer to that one.
My long answer would be, if you come with a great jersey, but you don't play the game, yeah, you could lose. Now, if you've got maybe a couple of tears in the jersey, but you play in your best, you can win the game and be that underdog and comes out and win. So, if you compete, there's a good chance you got a chance to win. If you don't show up, there's no chance of winning. Show up with the best game you have, and you'll always have the best chance of winning. But if you think because you step on stage, because, you basically did everything you thought you had to do to be ready, then there's a good chance of you losing. So, it's basically how you bring yourself, how you present yourself. Presentation is a big, big thing. And if you don't understand what we're saying, go to the live shows. Understand that it's not just, who walked on stage with the most cocky mentality, but basically who brought the best package for that day. That's a big difference. I just said it, and I know people are going to miss it because we keep saying it and you keep missing it, but you will figure it out if you stick around natural bodybuilding long enough. And one thing I'd love to say is that, thanks so much for listening so much to our show and basically getting the education. It's an honor to both Dez and I, and we do not shirk that privilege of presenting what we do every week. So thank you for that, and I know sometimes we forget to thank you, but, the 4th of July just passed by, and there were some people that didn't make it that I knew, and I just want to say thank you to you guys. Even though we don't get to meet face-to-face, you're with us every week, and we definitely appreciate it, and big shout-out for just sticking with us like you do. Dez?
Yeah, ditto what he said. Shout out to each and every one of you. I mean, I really couldn't have said it better. But in the interest of time, Mr. Cameron Patterson, what other questions do we have?
Okay, the last one is about prep, and I think that the connection with diet is a little different. And it's a concern over basically when should you see the results that let you know you're going to be show ready. This one's from, oh, my goodness. This is a French name. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to call you Jacques. Please forgive me for it. Wow, from France. Thank you, France. Wow. Beth?
I mean, you're ready when you're ready. That's, I mean, everybody's body is different. You know, there are different strategies out there. Some people pick a show and they push to be ready for that particular, by that particular date, and others just train. And when they feel they are ready, then they pick a show. So, you know, I sometimes it's a size goal. Sometimes it's a weight loss goal as far as whether or not you're quite ready to be on stage. It's also going to be differing by category, from category to category. So part of that, too, is knowing what the criteria is for the given organization that you're competing for, looking to see what other athletes look like who have competed in a show or shows that you're interested in, what do their bodies look like? And then take a look at yourself. Where do you fall in that category so you can get your opinion of where you think you are? But then also your coach, and here's another one, if your coach is honest with you and keeps it real, to get their opinion of where you are for a given show or organization or category, and if they feel like you are ready as well. Because sometimes, you know, there are coaches that will tell their athlete, you're not ready to get on stage yet. It's not time yet. We've got a little more work. We need, you know, a couple months, 6 months. And others are like, yeah, you know what, you're pretty close. You're maybe 2 to 4 weeks out. Let's tweak a few things. But by and large, you're going to be good to go. And so, you know, there are just several factors you have to take into consideration. There is no time frame like, you know, I should look like this in 6 weeks. I should look like this in 12 weeks. I should look like this in, you know, 8 months. There, everybody is going to be different, and it's going to respond to training differently. And a lot of that is also going to be determined by your consistency and effort that you put into your training and your food prep, and how your body responds to that as well. So it's a kind of a conglomeration of a lot of different factors and feedback, but keep your feedback limited to a smaller circle, because the more people you get in your mix, the harder it is to get a real answer whether or not you're going to be ready. And sometimes you're just not ready, but sometimes you just got to get on that stage. Sometimes that's the first hurdle that has to be overcome. But I digress without getting real lengthy with this answer. So, you know what? Do your homework. Take into consideration who's already competing, what winning physiques look like, and then set your goals. And then get someone in your court who is honest and can help guide you and can give you solid feedback on whether or not your body is approaching that caliber of a physique that you're looking for.
Okay, I like that answer. I said it is a temple. You said your body, and I said your is a temple.
It is.
I got it.
It is a temple.
Yeah.
You got it in
one
there.
More question. I want to answer the first one. I mean, the one we were just talking about. There's no, I mean, you basically, what is your goal? So there's no right answer to that when you should be competing. I mean, if you're driven to compete on that show day, you'll drive yourself, and that'll be your motivator. If, like you said, what Dez was saying, if you basically are going to compete when you're ready and that's your motivator, use that. You can't sit there and say, you know, one way is right and what works for you. Just like we said with diet, what works best for your body? These are the things you need to learn, and if you have a good support group, you will learn, and you will learn correctly. If you don't, then you'll struggle the whole time, and you usually won't get the end result that you're looking for. I won't go too long on it because Dad answered that really good. This one is I have to get this question out there because it's something I hear all the time in the gym and all the time as people are getting closer and closer to show day when they're in their prep. How will I know when I'm big enough to step on stage to compete? And I'll let Des answer that one, and then I'll piggyback it, because this is something that I just have a debate over no matter what.
Well, I'm going to slingshot that one back in your court, because I think you're going to have a more solid perspective on that being a bodybuilder. Well, we're both bodybuilders, but you're a full-fledged bodybuilder in the bodybuilding category. I'm in the bikini category, working my way up to figure. So my perspective on that is definitely different than yours is. And then, of course, there's the whole debate between size and conditioning, which we're not going to get into tonight. But, you know, I just throw that out there as food for thought. Back of your minds, ask us about that later. But go ahead, Kaylin. What are your thoughts on this question?
Honestly, you're never going to be big enough. In our own minds, we're so hard on our own bodies and how we look. Will never be big enough because the pictures that you see make the guys or women look so much larger than they are. You'll say, I'll never attain that size or status. And it's not true. You have a size, you have your, the good thing about natural bodybuilding is you are judged as a unique individual amongst a group of fit and healthy individuals. If you present yourself at its best, you can win being smaller than the bigger athlete because they didn't present their best. We all have a unique look when we step on stage. Some people have, you know, great-looking legs. Some people have great-looking chest. Some people have great-looking arms, back, whatever. Whatever your best body part is, how do you fit the rest of your body around that, you know, glaring, obvious, good part of your body? And how do you match it up with symmetry? I mean, these things are factors. That's what we, when we talk about criteria, we're not just saying it as a throwaway. It's something that really does factor into what you're doing. There are certain rounds that you're competing against the other person as you match up to the criteria, not to how that other individual is looking. If you present yourself as best as you know how, you will be the right size to win. And when we talk about size and bodybuilding, everybody has this enhanced vision of what natural bodybuilding is not. As a natural athlete, you will portray yourself as a natural athlete. There will be plenty of size in the muscle if you keep it healthy. There will be plenty of size in the muscle if you feed it correctly. There will be plenty of size in the muscle when you got muscle maturity from working it time and time again. There will be plenty of size in your muscle from proper diet. All of these things do matter for you as an individual. If you try to basically look like everyone else, then you've already failed because you won't be presenting your unique physique. And that does rhyme, doesn't it? Des?
It does rhyme, and I think you have captured that perfectly. I don't know that there's anything that I would add to that, and that really applies to whatever category it is that you are competing in. It really is a whole package. It's not just size alone. Yes, you have to put in the work. Different categories require different sizes, different levels of striation, different levels of leanness. So, yes, you always have to keep those things in mind. But if you've put in the work, because we all know you can't cheat the grind, and you've done your homework, you know what you're striving for, then Kaylin is right. You know, you will have the best package that you can bring, and it will have to be enough for that moment. But he's also right in that you will never be big enough, because the one thing you hear every athlete say time and time again, regardless if they came in first or they didn't place at all that particular competition, is, I'm going to beat that person that was on stage. I'm going to bring a better package than I had last time.
Yes.
And so there you have it. Yes. You are just, you're never going to be big enough. And if you max out, if that's even possible, if your body maxes out, then you're going to shift to posing, you're going to shift to conditioning, you're going to figure out whatever it is that you need to fine tune, and you're just going to keep working on that if you shift from one area of your presentation to another. So you just have to know in your heart you gave it everything that you have, and then take it there.
There you go. And there you have it.
So, and there you have it. And with that, even though this is a Chocolate Way for the Win episode, and that's a
Snickerdoodle
Chocolate Way, by the way, we'll allow Kaylin to do his Snickerdoodle shout-out, which I believe he just did.
He
and
did.
Then we will be back Yeah, we'll be back next week, and we will have our recap of the Rumble on the River. Kayla and I will both be judging that, and so we will be excited to let you guys know how everything goes. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin Patterson, Courtney Mile, who is promoting the Rumble on the River, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.